All righty. Well, again, thank you for being with us this morning. I know some in our family are a little under the weather or on vacation, but it's good to see each of you this morning. And this is a unique morning for us because we want to share with you a ministry that we will begin in just about a month or so. And for the past 6 months, the Lord has just opened doors of opportunity and just made it very clear to myself and the leadership on the ministry council that we have an opportunity to come alongside of people and encourage them and share words of hope and truth from God's word to help them see situations a little more clearly, to go with them for the next step as they hopefully move on a path of wholeness and wellness and living the life that God has for them to live. So we're calling the new ministry, we're calling it this, New Hope Christian Counseling. And we have three counselors, and they are joining Georgie, who will be supporting them and running some of the administrative sides. And we're so thankful all of them could be with us this morning. So you're going to hear a little bit from our three counselors, and then we want to have a time of prayer for them, asking that the Lord would use them to do just that, to bring new hope through his word and through prayer and through wise counsel. So I want to introduce the director of our new counseling ministry. I've known him for a few years now. We have a lot in common, mostly our parents, because he is my much, much older brother. Much, 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 much. He can't hear a word I'm saying right now. He has no idea where he is, but I'm glad he's here. My brother Dave has a real heart for people who are going through challenging times, and he has a very calm spirit, much like myself, very soothing at all times, but I did not hear any amens on that one. There was, what is the opposite of amen? I don't know. I think we experienced that, whatever that is. But he's going to come and share a little bit from God's word, and then each of our counselors will introduce themselves for a few moments and share what areas of counseling ministry they have the most experience in so that they can encourage other people. So I'm going to invite my brother to come on up. His name is Dave. And just remember, I'm up after you. So whatever you say can be rebutted. So thank you very much.
Sure.
And he is all hooked up with the good mic. So there we go.
All right. Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Try that one more time, a little louder. Good morning. Awesome. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, it's my privilege to be here with you today, and I'll share a little bit about who I am, other than just being known as Jeff's much older brother.
Boy, that's a
good question. That's a lot. You can certainly feel for my parents, I'm sure.
You're the first ones who signed up.
That's right. Yes, we have them booked in a couple slots already. I told them, hey, you know, they should have been, you know, a little bit smarter about it and quit while they were ahead, but they wanted to have a girl, and this is what we got. But joining me today is my lovely wife, Connie. So Connie is up front here. Some of you know Connie. We've been married 31 years, so hard to believe. It seems just like yesterday, kind of. Couple things about me. In addition to being married for 31 years, I have two children, Matthew, and Matthew is a executive sous chef, so I have to always make sure I remember that. So I've been eating well with having Matthew being a chef, and he's married to a very lovely young lady, Amy, who is a school teacher. So we have a chef and a school teacher in the family. No grandchildren yet, two grandcats, however. So if you like cats, we got two grandcats. And then I have a daughter. I used to have a full head of hair, but well, that pretty much speaks for itself. And Nicole is a teacher. She recently graduated from Eastern University. Some of you may be familiar with Eastern, down near King of Prussia. Good news for her, the mall was only 10 minutes away from the school. So bad news for Dad, the mall is only 10 minutes away from the school. And she is engaged and going to be getting married this year. So it's hard to believe I have both of them married, and out of the nest, so to speak. And she is marrying a very nice gentleman who just graduated from West Point, our military academy. So Jonathan is his name, and he will be, they will both be going in January, so I'll ask your prayers for this, to Okinawa, Japan. So she couldn't go to New Jersey or Maryland, or no, she has to go halfway around the world. But she said and reminded me that in 2020, the Summer Olympics are there, so there's a reason to visit, and maybe I'll get free lodging. So I'm hopeful of that. So in addition to that, then we have two wonderful puppies. Actually, I call them puppies, but they're older. Calvin and Griffin, very loving. I was going to bring them with you today, me, to greet you. But when we saw it was raining, we thought best to keep them at home. I currently work at Capital Blue Cross. And so before any of you ask me any health insurance questions, I have no idea. So I could relay the question for you, but my job is I work in HR, talent management, and I work with the managers and the senior team, trying to make sure they all play nicely together. So that's pretty much my role there. I wanted to share a little bit this morning about a topic that I think is near and dear to my heart, and you'll see it in the name of the Counseling Center, and that's the topic of hope. Why is hope so important in our lives? Would you agree that today there's quite a few people that seem to be hopeless or searching for hope? So therefore, what is hope? So here's what I want you to do. Since I'm a trainer, I'm used to, you know, breakout groups, but we'll just do this with you in the pews here. Turn to your neighbor, or if they're behind you, or if you're by yourself, you're welcome to talk to yourself, whatever works for you. And just share with them, in your mind, answer the question, what is hope? So go ahead, I'm going to give you a whole 30 seconds. So each of you get 15 seconds. So go ahead, talk with your neighbor. What is hope? All right, the younger generation's looking it up on their iPhone. Hope, they're Googling it to see what it says. All right, 30 seconds is up. And since, as Jeff loves to point out, I'm the older brother, and I am probably getting to the point where I need hearing aids. I just haven't gotten to that point yet. So I'm going to ask you, whoever wants to share, what did you say? What to you is hope? So just shout it out nice and loud so I can hear it. So this is the part where you talk. Anybody? Expectation of a better future. Awesome. Thank you.
Salvation of the soul.
Salvation of the soul. Wow. Yeah, that's a little deep. Yeah, all right. Well,
wow.
Woo, okay.
That's
right. It's always good to have a ringer in the crowd. So very nice. Thank you. Anything else? Anything else?
The idea that things don't have to stay exactly as they are. There's room for improvement.
Okay. Room for improvement. Very good.
Anticipation.
Yeah, yeah. And as Christians, what are we anticipating? Yes, very good. So would you agree that there's also a lot of things that people this day and age are struggling with, that they may feel like, you know, there's just no hope? How many of you, show of hands, watched the whole rescue take place with those 13 soccer kids in Thailand? Anybody, you guys see that? I must admit, when I first heard soccer players trapped in a cave, I'm thinking, what are soccer players doing in a cave? You know, last time I checked, they're usually out on a pretty big grassy field. And if you followed that, it wasn't looking real good for a while. And it was amazing, the faith and the hope. There was a documentary on just the other night, 1 hour about it. And they showed almost all the time the parents especially, as well as the rescue workers, praying and praying and praying that their child would be delivered from that very traumatic experience. So those young people are thankfully with us today. But they will have a long road ahead of them as far as recovering. So what are some things that you can think of, some areas that people struggle with? And again, just shout them out nice and loud for me, and I'll come down here so I can hear. I'm sorry, where did I hear something?
Marriage,
yes. You mean it's not always a piece of cake? Oh, yeah, yes. I won't even ask my wife about that, so. Yeah, we don't have enough time. Thank you, hon. So thank you.
Marital blisters,
that's right. Okay, so yeah, marriage, it takes a lot of work, doesn't it? My son has found that out. They're going to have their 2-year anniversary here in August, but, you know, he's like, Dad, they get a house. Do you know how much I had to pay for oil? And yes, I do. So, yeah, I mean, and, you know, having different schedules and, marriage is tough. Matter of fact, unfortunately, and I have some statistics to share with you, today, the divorce rate's around 50%. So about half of all marriages will end in divorce. So obviously, what's going on there? You know, so that's a great one. So marriage is an area where people may struggle. What are some other things that may happen to them or they may have experienced that they could use a little bit of hope?
Money issues,
yes. Too much, correct? Yes. Wouldn't that be nice, right? I wouldn't mind trying to have that problem, too much money, but I don't think that's going to happen. Any other? So we got financial issues, we have marriage. Aging, sure, yeah. Yeah, aging, which we're all doing right this moment, are we? So aging. What else?
Health issues,
yeah. Yeah, it seems like more and more you hear of people coming down with different ailments or illnesses or things like that. I think I heard something else in the back.
Loss.
Loss of like a loved one, something like that, certainly.
Anger.
How about anxiety? Yes.
Crazy children.
Crazy. No, they're both correct.
Crazy.
Oh, okay. My bad. How about depression? Yeah, depression is another one. Let me share with you just some statistics I looked up. Not that we can to debate the numbers, but I think it shows you the seriousness of what the counseling community is dealing with. Stress. So is there anyone in the room that has no stress? Just raise your hand. Okay, good, because I'd be very concerned. Stress, it's reported since 2017, has gone up, people say, 37%. So their lives are getting more stressful, bottom line. Depression. Between the period of 2013 and 16, over 9 million people, an increase of 33% of depression. Anxiety, 40 million adults. That's a lot of people. That's approximately 18% of our population. It's the most common mental illness that's out there. Wayne is agreeing with me, which is good. Divorce, we already mentioned. Cancer, we talked about illness, cancer. An estimated 1,735,350 cases of new cancer will be diagnosed this year. Almost 2 million. And then, of course, some of us, loss of a loved one, suicide, which is actually the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Approximately 123 people per day take their own lives here in the U.S. I don't know about you, but that's sad. I'd like to share a little bit with you about a ministry that I was a part of for 18 years. I had the privilege and the blessing to be the co-founder and the director of the, it's a long one here, Armstrong Valley Bible Baptist Church Outreach Ministry Center. So that's a long one. Get that on a card, huh? And that was in Halifax, Pennsylvania. So if you're familiar with Halifax, kind of a nice rural area, kind of similar to around here. And we ministered to all sorts of people. It was a free ministry, meaning we did not charge people. The staff were all volunteers, so they had a heart for helping others. And we did everything from, we did some, Jan, be able to appreciate this, divorce care sessions. So we did that. We dealt a lot with depression, anxiety, parenting issues, challenges. And I was really blessed in that 18 years. When I started, my wife and I talked about it. It's amazing how God works. I wasn't looking to do anything like this. I happened to work with a young lady, and we were talking one day, and I'm like, you know, I'm really into history. I like Civil War history and World War II and Vietnam. I'm just fascinated about all that. She said, well, you know, my pastor, she said, he was in Vietnam, two tours of duty. He's a really interesting guy. Maybe you would like to talk to him about his experiences. So I made a lunch appointment and met with him, and we got to talking and asked my background and my education. And he said, you know, he said, I've been praying a lot about starting a counseling ministry up here in Halifax. He said, we have a lot of people that will not go to a counselor because they perhaps don't have the financial means, or, you know, there's perhaps a stigma, or they don't trust that profession. He said, and he said, as a pastor, he said, my strength is preaching. He said, it's not necessarily in counseling. And he said, matter of fact, he said, if you agree to do this, we have a whole building we will give you that you can use as a counseling ministry. And what it was a three-bedroom ranch house that was actually the parsonage, that he had his own house. So after praying about it, talking it over with my wife, realizing it was going to be a commitment because it's a little over an hour from my house, it's not right around the corner, we decided to give it a try. And within 1 month, we had the entire facility completely furnished without spending a penny. Desks, chairs, we had a kitchen, an operational kitchen. My office manager, in this case it's going to be Georgie right here. I'm not sure what your cooking abilities are, but there were many times we would be meeting with a client where it was obvious the kids hadn't perhaps had a good meal or hadn't been eating as they should. And so while I'm meeting with someone, she would be making a meal in the kitchen. So when we started it, I thought, it's probably going to last about 2 years or so, give or take. 18 years later, about four pastors through, we finally reached a point where they had a pastor that was very good at counseling. And I said, you know, I said, I'm not so sure you need me to do this anymore. And so gracefully handed it off to him. So they're still running the ministry up there. And that simply freed me up for my brother to zero in and see how that works. But let me share two stories just real quickly, which I think shows the essence of what we tried to do in the counseling ministry. I had a family that the mom brought. The little boy was, I'm going to say, 8, and he was my client, so first time she's bringing. But she also brought her other children, which happens a lot. Just FYI, Georgie. Happens a lot. And so there was the 8-year-old boy, a 6-year-old girl, and then I think around a 3-year-old girl. So the others are hanging out in the waiting area, and they're playing with the toys and stuff like that. And I'm meeting with the young man. Nothing too serious. I think mom was overreacting a little bit. So anyways, we were done early. And so, you know, I go out, and I always like to talk to the mom or the dad. So we're just chatting, and the middle girl comes up, Mr. Burr, I made you something. And she handed me a little bracelet made out of yarn. Remember the yarn bracelets you guys used to make when you were little? And she said, and I made myself a matching bracelet. I said, wow, that's great. I said, thank you so much. I said, how about I keep it here on my desk? So every time I see this bracelet, I'll think of you. And she's like, oh, sure, that'd be great. And out of the clear blue comes this little, now you got to picture this with me now. Picture this little pint-sized little girl, around 3, tiny, cute as a button, comes up to me, looks at me real serious. I want to talk to you. At which point the mom was panicked and like, no, he's very busy. I'm like, well, actually, I got a few minutes. So I said, sure. I said, do you want to come back to the office? Here she goes stomping on back. And it was the funniest thing to sit across from her and see her sitting there, little feet sticking straight out. You know, they don't touch the floor. It was hysterical. But, you know, I'm trying not to laugh because obviously something, you know, very serious that she wants to talk about. And so there's an awkward silence. And she says, I'm going to Hershey Park tomorrow. Okay, good, good. You like the park? Never been there. Okay, well, I'm sure you will. And then another awkward silence. I like going to the pool. Oh, okay. So are you a good swimmer? No. Okay. Just be careful of the deep end. And she mentioned something else about her Barbies. And then, you know, and I just sat there. I listened. And finally, she says to me, you know, she said, sometimes kids are mean to me. I'm like, oh, really? I said, who's mean to you? My brother. I said, well, you got about 15 more years of that, so you know, toughen up, kid. And as quickly as she announced she wanted to talk to me, she ended the conversation by saying, I'm done. Scooted off and another satisfied client right there. So, you know, did we have any big counseling breakthroughs or you know, anything like that? Probably not. But what was that all about? Why did a three-year-old, I mean, never met me before, why did she want to talk? And you could tell she hadn't planned it out. She had to think of what she wanted to say when we were meeting. What was that all about? What do you think? I simply want someone to listen to me. I want someone that I think could care about me. Now, I'm not saying the mom wasn't doing a good job, but she was a single parent, definitely had her hands full. So there are so many people in this world, I think, that are just looking for hope. They're looking for someone to listen to them. The last example I want to share with you real quick is we had a single mom, and she brought her son in, and she was very upset because the school had said to her, we think your child needs to go on medication. And I said, well, can I ask why? Well, you know, toward the end of the day, he's not really focused, not paying attention. I said, but is he disruptive? Is he causing problems? And the answer was no. So I was a little concerned about that. I don't know if that's always the first route you want to go is medication. And I said, well, have you talked to him, the mom? He said, well, you know, he doesn't talk a whole lot to me about stuff. So here's what I want you to do. At bedtime, I want you to sit down next to him. Why do you think bedtime? Anyone know the strategy on that one? Yeah, they're kind of winding down a little bit, don't have their guard up as much. And so she asked him, she said, hey, I understand you're having some trouble in school. What's going on? And he goes, well, I don't have enough pencils. And she's like, oh, that's kind of odd. And she said, okay. But she did as I asked her, so just kind of wait him out. And she said, any other problems going on? Goes, well, I could use a new notebook. Okay. And then I think that he realized, I'm not going to get rid of mom until I tell her the truth, because she's still sitting here. And so he says, do you want to know the truth? And she said, well, of course. And he said, at the end of the day, he said, I get kind of tired. You know, I get a little bored. And he said, so I probably daydream a little bit, drift off. And I think about my dad. Now, they were divorced. And all the wonderful things we used to do together. Now, the sad thing about that is, to my knowledge, they didn't do wonderful things together. So it was kind of a hoping, wishing they would have done things together. Do you think that young man needed to be rushed off and medicated? Probably not. But I was so proud of the mom because she waited it out. She listened. And he finally was able to share what was important and what was bothering him. You know, it's been said that we can live 40 days without food. I don't know about you, 4 hours is kind of tough for me, but 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 9 minutes without oxygen, I wouldn't test that one. However, only 1 minute without hope. So I would just like to share a little bit about what we're going to do here and what our goal is here at New Hope Christian Counseling and how you can play a part. In a moment, I'm going to ask our staff to come forward, but some of you may have received the newsletter a couple weeks ago. Yes, does this look familiar? And I'm sure you sat down over coffee or something and read the back few pages all about the ministry and all that stuff and saw the lovely photos of us. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, The point I want to make with what we're going to do here is going to be very similar to what I did up at Armstrong, in that it is a free ministry. People can come to New Hope Christian Counseling, do not have to spend a dime. It is also confidential. So we're going to run it just like we did up there. Everything is locked and secured and top-notch because we want people to feel safe. They do not have to be Christians to come. Anyone can come. It doesn't matter where they're from, what the challenge. Depending on what it is, as you saw in your newsletter here, you know, we'll address items like anger management, anxiety, some of the things we talked about earlier, and I'll let our counselors share their areas of expertise. But the purpose of New Hope Christian Counseling is to provide free, Christ-centered, biblically-based, there we go, okay, so that's key as well, emotional, relational, and spiritual guidance to both children, teens, and adults. That's our goal. How can you help? It's real simple. One, prayer. That is a huge one. Pray for the staff, for the clients. And another way you can help is at the end of the service, Jeff's going to give you some that look like business cards that list what we do and has a phone number for people to call. And so I would encourage you maybe to keep a couple of these with you in your wallet, your purse. You're talking to a neighbor, a friend, a coworker. They're going through something difficult. You don't have to be a counselor yourself. You can just say, hey, you know, the church I go to, they have this counseling ministry, and I'd like, you know, to share this with you. Give them a call. I'm sure they'd love to meet with you. So that's what we're about. We are about bringing hope to the hurting. So with that said, I'd like to introduce our talented and not only handsome, but beautiful staff, as you can see in the pictures. And tell you what, why don't I just...
I can't believe you called Pastor Jan beautiful.
Well, you know.
That seems weird.
We go back a ways, so... yeah, I'll talk to myself. It works out great. So I'm just going to simply follow the order that was in your newsletter just to make it easier. So the next person up is the lovely and talented Beth Stevenson. So Beth, if you wouldn't mind coming up and just sharing a little bit about your background and why you've decided to join this motley crew here.
Good morning. If I really want to share about my background, I'm probably related to a third of you in this room. I am a Blauk by blood. So if you want to do genealogy after church, see me. I'll pretend I know everybody that you're talking about. So yeah, I am a marriage and family therapist by trade, so that is my real life job. I do work for two practices, River of Hope, which is Gingrich's Mennonite Church near the Lebanon Country Club. And there's a new practice that will be coming to Hershey. It's called Safe and Sound. So this, to me, is somewhat as a tithe offering. As I said, marriage and family therapist, that's my specialty. I went to evangelical, says all of my student loan information that I get every month. I also just love women and any kind of unique women issues, problems. My passion is empowerment and encouraging. I don't ever step into a therapy room and think I'm the expert. I think my client is the expert. I've known them for maybe 50 minutes. They've known them their whole life. So I'm kind of a director of a ship. I don't know what your answer is. I'm not an advice giver, but you do, and let's find it out together. I look forward to working with these gentlemen. I've known most of them for a very long time. Some of you may know my hubby, Gene. He looks different from week to week because he likes to change his hair around. But he is or has been a pastor in the EC denomination. Gene and I have a heart for pastors, ministry leaders, and their spouses, and the rest of their family. We were in pastoral ministry for 11 years. I'm bad with math. 10? 10. All right, he even did the fingers. We were in pastoral ministry for 10 years in Palmyra with Pastor Jan, as my kids call Cha-Cha, and in Frackville. And while we were in Frackville, we just really got a heart for ministry leaders. Gene and I have started something in conjunction with the Evangelical Seminary called Refresh, where ministry leaders, their spouses, and families can come and be retooled at the seminary and renewed through therapy. My heart one day is to have a beach house where I can invite pastors, ministry leaders, and their families to come and just relax. That's a little bit about me. I have three kids, Aria, Noah, and Lily. Aria's back there. The other two are downstairs. The one is dressed like a My Little Pony this morning. And one of my passions is, and some of you may know this, I'm a vocalist. That was my first love. That's what I went to school for initially. I teach voice at the Country String Shop in Campbelltown, if anybody needs voice lessons. So that's a little bit about me, and I look forward to, you'll see me around some more, and I look forward to seeing you.
Very good, thank you. Sure. All right, well, we'll bring up the next member of our crew, someone that should be near and dear to your heart, Pastor Jan.
Well, my story goes way back to 1981 when I gathered with four friends who were victims of divorce, and we drew a lot of hope and encouragement from each other, and we thought, gee, I wonder if somebody else could maybe benefit from this. So we sent the word out, and in 2 months we had 42 people coming. It was amazing. We realized people could benefit from getting help in divorce. About the same time, I got involved with the Schuylkill County Prison Society, and we would go into the prison and we would meet one-on-one with the inmates, and sometimes you felt like you really made a huge difference in their lives, and sometimes you came away thinking, it probably would have been better if I'd have stayed home today. And we wondered whether we were making a difference, so we started crunching the numbers, and what we discovered was that 85% of the people we didn't work with ended up back in prison within 5 years after they were released. The opposite was that the people we worked with, 85% of them were still out after 5 years. We felt maybe that was worthwhile. 1997 comes along. God calls me to become the lead pastor at Palmyra First DC. I had just assumed that role a short time, and I got a frantic call from the youth pastor of a nearby church. He said, Jan, can you come over right away? I said, what's wrong? He said, well, the swim coach for the senior high girls at Palmyra was just killed in a motorcycle accident, and I've got a fellowship hall full of crying, devastated teenage girls. Well, there were three of us pastors standing there, and among the three of us, we didn't have one idea of where to go from there. We set up a quick prayer, and after we were done, I did some research. I discovered that through no fault of our own, we did everything right. But I determined at that time, I never wanted to feel that unequipped in the middle of so much hurt again. I wanted to get as much training, as much preparation as possible so that I could, you can never meet every need, but at least I would be equipped in some way to deal with whatever would come along. Well, at that time I was involved with Kiwanis in Palmyra, and we had a guest speaker who came, and he was a sexual assault counselor, and he told us that one out of every four girls, one out of every six boys is a victim of sexual assault. I thought, looks like this may raise its ugly head at some point. So I took the training to become a sexual assault counselor, and I'd work overnights, some nights, usually two or three a month. I would get called to the hospital from time to time to work with a rape victim. I thought, these people need counseling. Time went on. We moved from the parsonage in Palmyra to North Londonderry Township, bought our home there, and we were only in a very short time when the police chief came knocking on our door. A little unnerving when the police chief comes knocking at your door. had no clue what he had in mind. He said, Jan, I want to talk to you. He said, I want to do something new that's not being done anywhere in this county that I'm aware of. He said, I want to bring on a chaplain. And then he shared his story. When he was a patrol officer, he was called to the scene of a car accident. There were two teenage girls who were drunk and wrecked the car, and both of them just had minor injuries, but when they removed the car, there was a third girl, at least the mangled body of what had been a third girl under the wreckage. He was a mess, and he went to his chief and he said, I need some help. And the chief said, suck it up and do the job we pay you to do. He said, I never want to have that happen to one of my officers. So he said, I thought about it. I want to bring a chaplain on. You're the first name that came to mind. In fact, you're the only name that came to mind. Say the word, and I'll order you a badge and a uniform. Now, any sane person would have said, let me pray about it. But I heard this strange person who looks just like me say, sure. And after he left, I thought, gee, maybe I should call him back and we should maybe discuss this a little bit more. But God wouldn't give me one good reason to change that. So I thought, I guess I better get help in this area. So I called a friend of mine who is a chaplain for Allentown City, Pennsylvania State Police, and the FBI. And I said, what do I do? He said, well, the first thing you do is join the International Conference of Police Chaplains. That's the best training you can get in the world. So I joined them. The basic training with them is 12 courses. I took all 12 courses. And about a year after I had completed the last one, they said, well, we've just revised all 12 courses. You all have to take them all over again. I said, this is really going to be boring. Well, the first two were taught by FBI instructors. The first one in particular was on hostage negotiation, and I can still see him standing at the head of the class saying, when we teach this course at the FBI Academy to the cadets, we take 3 weeks, but since you guys have already had it, you're getting it in 3 hours. There was nothing boring about it. It's the fastest I've ever taken notes. I completed that, moved on, became a senior chaplain, and in 2015 became got my master's in law enforcement chaplaincy. Only 3% of chaplains have that. As I shared with you, the police chief had to experience something terrible. First responders, people in the military, and often victims end up in a situation where they're forced to see, hear, smell things that the human mind was never designed to process. And if they don't get help, they can end up with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. I got the training so that I could become part of actually one of the founding members of the Lebanon County SISM response team. And so we would go out and work with the first responders or with military people who had experienced traumatic events like that. So that's my life, my passion. Today I serve with SERVPA, which is an organization of people who are specially trained to respond in disasters. So this afternoon I could get a phone call to go anywhere in Pennsylvania and spend up to 3 weeks dealing with. I may be doing some of the areas I'm specially trained in, like 911 dispatcher, counseling, security, or I may be passing out water bottles. It doesn't matter. wherever God calls, whatever he wants. Amen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jan. The last member of our team that you know, and I'm not going to make her come up, so she's good, is Georgie. Georgie is the administrative assistant for New Hope Christian Counseling, and she is going to be really the glue that holds everything together. So she'll be the one making sure, you know, that as counselors we know who we're meeting with, at what time, and what's the issue. She'll be the one taking care of all the forms and all the things that go along with that ministry. So we're very blessed to have Georgie as part of our team. I'd like to leave you with a closing thought before I turn it back over to my slightly younger brother. It's a quote that I came across from a gentleman by the name of Leo Rosten, and I really like this quote because I think it really helps sum up as Christians, especially what we're called to do. Here's what he says. I cannot believe that the purpose of life is to be, quote, happy. I think the purpose of life is to be useful, to be responsible, to be compassionate. It is, above all, to matter, to count, to stand for something, to have made some difference that you lived at all. Everyone in this congregation can make a difference in someone else's life. You don't have to be a lay counselor or a pastoral counselor or a licensed counselor. All of us can make a difference. So I encourage you to come alongside of us through prayer and sponsorship. And I think the Lord has great things in store for New Hope Christian Counseling. So I will turn it over to Jeff.